Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to be able to talk about Roy Middleton. You know, we talked about seeking justice for Roy Middleton. And last night on the Emerald Coast, there was a news report by Sue Strong with WEARTV3. You can see it at WEARTV3.com maybe, or go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and it'll lead you to her. I was like, it took me a moment in time. Mm. It took me a moment in time to digest what I just heard, because it was squoze in between. There's cotton candy and there's a Ferris wheel ride at the fair, and the grand jury came back and they said that that Roy Middleton wasn't done wrong, that everybody did right in the context of that. They just need a little training.
Wow.
And so we're gonna be talking about that, because we need to understand that it's multidimensional. The fact is, there's a ton of good officers, and they're good because you can tell, because you know, crime's not pouring into your windows and your businesses and your houses. But there's also, just like anything else as we talked about, we have to find out, it's like, hey, you just shot my brother 15 times.
No doubt.
And we're going to talk about that. What is that? You know, seeking justice. This is what God tells us in his word. He says, no one cries for justice. Mm-hmm. And he says, if you wait too late to cry for justice, if you wait too late, you're bait. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that. You can sit there and hold all you want to and watch all these injustices take place. And there's a quote I'm going to talk about as well, that as I was, I just posted something when I heard it, because I couldn't know what to say. And I don't normally do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, I wanted Roy to know, and I want you to know, we're going to talk to you on behalf. I just want to say, not on behalf, but I just wanted to share my heart. But this is what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. Remember, everything that Adolf Hitler did was legal. Mm-hmm. Everything that he did was legal. So in regards to Christianity, understand you have legal and then you have the moral, and sometimes those overlap and sometimes they don't. But with us, we no matter what the law may say, we do what's right according to God's way. In the context of that, I was when I went to school and studying to be law enforcement, I was a law enforcement officer. Maybe you studied, do you remember criminal law when they taught it, and they had to do two circles? And they had two circles. One was the law, and one was morality. And then they kind of barely touched the two, but it was just barely small, two circles. Little. Yeah, a little slither. And so many people think the law's moral. Well, there was a day that probably was more moral, but no law can be moral outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is, the law is the power of sin. But it can be, you know, moral-type laws. But just because it's legal to kill your dog, for example, doesn't mean it's right to kill your dog. You know what I'm saying? And just because it's legal to abort your child doesn't mean it's morally right and legal in the throne room of God.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is people are leaning towards legalities and go, well, that's all legal. It's like, I got it. I totally get it. But he was shot at 15 times. So let's think about this thing morally and empathetically. And, you know, because Jesus is able to empathize with our weaknesses because he's walked in our shoes. And to be able to click into the legal mindset without even thinking about the moral mindset is to have zero empathy for what took place in the context of that.
I guess what you're saying with the Hitler quote, quote, to give context, that was, because we know what he did to the Jews was immoral
and
wrong.
The Christians and all.
Right. But they had law, weird law on their side.
Yeah, they established a law that was immoral.
Yeah.
That says that you can persecute the Jews, you can imprison folks, Jews, Christians, and anybody they didn't like.
Right.
We have to answer before the eyes of God. We have to talk to him about our lives and what we did and where we're going, and what did we do with the injustices that was taking place. We need God's blessing on America. We need God's blessing. They need God's blessing. We need God's blessing there on the Gulf Coast in the Northwest Florida Panhandle. And I believe that pockets of blessings are going to begin to happen in the world and in America, of ones who just stand up and say, this is not right. God, help us get through this and begin to have the conversation that we keep putting off so that we can actually talk about this. You know, as we talked to Captain Alexander that's down in Pensacola, the Pensacola Police Force, that he says, you know, we need to have this conversation because it's going to be painful. But if we'll have this conversation, you know, he's a Christian, he's a minister too, that if, though it's painful, when we get through this, God can heal us if you're willing to be healed.
Right.
And so I just want to say this morning, this is what I wrote last night, and I wrote it and, you know, did my best, and I was just so unsettled. I didn't know what to do. And I guess the biggest thing that shocked me was not the outcome per se, it's the fact of people's lack of response to the outcome.
Mm.
It's like
silent.
You can hear a pin drop. It's just like a vacuum. Just like, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know? And then to hear comments, it's like, oh. So first I want to say this. First I want to talk about myself in regards, because well, this shooting took place almost 90 days ago. He was in his driveway, his own driveway, in his own car, minding his own business, and two officers come down the street at nighttime because they get a phone call from a neighbor that says somebody's breaking into Roy's car. It was Roy in his car.
Mm.
They, according to news reports and hearing the sheriff, David Morgan, said that the officers got scared. One of them got scared when they heard the other one shoot, because they thought something was happening. And so they offloaded 15 rounds at him, and God protected Roy. I mean, there's 15 times in a short little under the carport.
Distance, yeah.
He's in his carport, under his carport, in his driveway. And you got to drive into the driveway, you know, past the grass and, you know, up under the, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, okay. But their minds were set because of what they heard, and they just assumed. And so in that context of assumption, now a man in his own car, in his own carport, by 5 feet away from his own door under his carport, is now 15 feet away from that area, laid up in his house with his thigh blown out, with a metal rod in his leg. And he actually is hearing things like, well, we've investigated it by the state. I'm not saying but I'm just saying his perspective. We're trying to get empathy for his perspective. So the state looks at everything, and they go, well, we don't see any wrongdoing in the context of this. And so you have the state that you live in. And the second thing you hear, the jury of your peers, a grand jury, that's what that means. Remember the Constitution that we talk about. They get together, and they review everything, and they say, you know, he wasn't done wrong. You know, nothing, you know, that nothing was violated here in the context of that. No law was violated in the context of that. And then the very ones that for whatever reason, right or wrong, you know, based on the ones that they're still in uniform and they're still there. So I was imagining Roy pulling the covers up over him last night. And as he's pulling the covers up over him, I couldn't help but think, man, even in the midst of all this, everything's screaming at me. And even as I pulled the covers over my head and looked to God, even the sheet reminded me of untold conversations. Dear God, help us have this conversation. So I want to be able to talk about, I think it really will help you begin to think a little bit deeper in the context of your life and begin to say, you know, I need to go deeper than, life is deeper than our skin. God is so deeper than our skin. He's down to our heart.
Oh yeah,
and you'll find out. You'll be really shocked. You'll be really shocked to find out when you were on the operating table about whose blood kept you alive. I love that. That's just beautiful.
That'd be very good.
It's true. It's true, because we're all the same. We're creating the image and the likeness of God, and God loves us. And so we find out about Jesus called us to reach all nations. That word comes, Greek word comes from, it comes from the Greek word ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnic. And so if we don't love our brothers of different, if we don't love our brothers of different ethnicity, then we don't love God.
That's right.
And we can talk more about that, you know, and you can stomp your feet all you want to, but we'll have a final exam at the throne room of
That's
God,
right.
You know. Hope it works for you. Doubt it will, because God would have to be a liar, right?
That's right.
And he's not a liar.
Mm-mm.
And so, but I do want to say this. I want to say this because, you know, Dr. King said that, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that, that there's a day We need to begin to judge a man on the not on the color of his skin, but on the context of his character. But understanding empathy is, now we just talked about it. You need to understand this. I know that we're to live a life of character because I understand this. I'm an intelligent human being. I totally get it. And I understand how others define the context of that. I got it. I totally get it. But if you're empathizing, you can see why. If someone has been a good character for the last 10 or 20 years, I mean, think about it. I've been a normal person doing normal things, probably better than you type thing, you know, doing a character. I mean, God knows my character type thing. But all during those 10 and 20 years, I was judged on the color of my skin. And nobody could see beyond the thin veneer of my epidermis. How ignorant is that anyway?
Right.
But it's a stronghold. It's true. And so they're being judged by the color of the skin. Why then nobody could, those individuals could not see past, they just like I talked about earlier, they couldn't see past the color. They didn't think they needed to. So understanding with empathy then, if somebody walks 10 or 20 years as a man of character, a woman of character, you know, just a godly woman, godly man, just good father, good mother, you know, just godly type person, just character. I mean, people you can just stand by and they can hold you up because they're so steady, you know? Then it would be easy to understand how they could have a momentary lapse in character. You know, get out of character for a moment. You know what I mean? I mean, if I went 10 or 20 years doing everything right, walking in the wisdom of what I personally believe personally, that Dr. Martin Luther King being an apostle, bringing America to the place that God's original intent was for us, all the ethnos walking together under Jesus Christ, is, and then you judge me, not on my character, but on the color of my skin. And so all of a sudden, when I get out of character for a moment, I just go there for a moment, just a moment now. This is not my life, just for a moment. I was in the coffee break room, you know, I was driving down the road, we were doing something, just for a moment, I went there.
I flipped the switch.
Just for a moment, 10, 20 years, I didn't go there. I was a man of character. And now all of a sudden, you throw Dr. King's words in my face. You throw his words in my face. You throw his words, after judging me by my skin color for 10 or 20 years, and I just momentarily have a lapse of character because that's the reality. It's all you saw, so I brought it up. I just wanted to have the conversation. And then you're going to throw his words in my face and tell me all of a sudden, you're judging me off that one momentary lapse of my character instead of the 10 or 20 years that I was a man of character. And you know what? You don't even know I was a man or woman of character because you never look past my skin color. You never look past this veneer of my life. You never thought you had to. You know why? Because you're not colorblind. Because you're not colorblind. You just judge things off their surface and you don't look any deeper. But see, you wouldn't even have the guts to say if you observe a man's life for 10 or 20 years that he was a man of character when he expressed one momentary lapse in his character where he began to express his reality, you would have empathized with him and you would have said, I am so sorry because I know you're a man of character. I know you're a woman of character. I know that you were an awesome law enforcement officer for the last 10, 20 years. I know that you laid your life down. I know that you fought for this country. I know that you pastored that church. I know that you're a good, I mean, just, you empathize with them. But the fact that you can't empathize, you're not colorblind. The fact that you can't empathize and you're going to judge that man or woman just because they had a momentary lapse when somebody says something so, so veneer, so surfacey, so polarizing, so profiling, that give me a moment here. Because I've been walking around 20 years. I'm a member of the school board. I'm the president. I'm a congressman. I'm a police officer. I'm your neighbor. I stood up for you. I fought for you. And did you just say, did you just give me a, just dear God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I'm like, that momentary lapse, you know? That moment, you know what I'm talking about?
I know.
And so I just want to say this, that truly, if you throw Dr. King's quote in somebody's face who walked 10 or 20 years as a man and woman of character just because they wanted to have a conversation about their last 10 or 20 years of being judged by the color of skin and not their character, then you're not colorblind. So you need to have this conversation. And I'm talking to the church here. Listen, we are called to love each other. And it's the church that will rise up to this place. Rise up to this place. It'll be the church that will lead in this conversation. We got to begin to have this conversation. And when you go deeper than color, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked at the beauty that's there. Mm. And it's still there, even with the color of all of us. But still, it's just the depth and the journey and the texture of their life and their personality, the person, and the awesomeness of God in their life and the love of God in their life, even on a dark journey when they need to come back. And then you understand, you know, part of healing me is understanding me. So if you let me begin to talk about my journey, I might end up in the same place you are instead of just shutting me down and all of a sudden saying, I have bad character. Excuse me, I didn't realize that you even noticed my character. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you even noticed it. I thought all you, because every time a statistic comes out, you don't statistic me on my color, you statistic me on my skin. As a matter of fact, I'm called Americans in one point. I'm called American one point. But when it comes to crime, all of a sudden I'm a color? Black on black crime? Mm. What happened to being my brother? What happened to being Americans? What happened to be, hey, we need to help our fellow Americans here.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To me, which means that we need to learn, dear God, give us your heart. Help us to empathize. Help us to walk out. Help us to understand your heart towards all the nations, because you've called us to win them all and love them all, including our nation, and bring them to you because you want them to be your disciples, to enter into the family of God. Basically, we began talking about seeking justice for Roy Middleton and the grand jury coming back and giving their results, and just talking about colorblindness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm colorblind, at least color challenged, and how that can actually apply to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking deeper than the color of skin.
Particularly, we need to see that more happen amongst those that say that they love the Lord and are believers and are Christians. I think Dr. King said that the most segregated hour is the church hour,
right?
That time that most people fellowship and are part of a local fellowship. Mm-hmm. But if the church can get this right, if we can get this right, There's hope for the world.
And then something very important, you know, to talk about in the context of that because the vocabulary has been taken,
yeah,
that when understanding what we talked about, you know, just a few moments ago, that when Jesus tells us to go make disciples of the nations, those are people who follow Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, and get into the family of God. And nations it's where the word Greek word ethnos comes from, or ethnic groups, which means all of the different parts of us,
mm-hmm,
which means, and then we find out, he says, if you don't love that ethnic group, you know, whatever ethnic, mm-hmm, if it's different than your ethnic group, then you don't love God. If they're a brother in the Lord, a sister in the Lord, and you don't love them, you don't love God. So then you got to go back to now we're getting that knowledge. We got to think, this is what's happened. He said the most segregated moment, 11 mm-hmm o'clock on Sunday, is now the church is not that building.
Right.
It's not that organization. It's not your denomination. Those are methodologies. You know, it's good, mm-hmm, to have a building to stay out of the rain. It's good to have that, right, kind of stuff. And it's not wrong to organize and that type of thing, your church, to make sure everybody's kind of got a rhythm, that type of thing. But the church is you. If you call yourself a believer, the church is you. Mm-hmm. So when you look around at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, don't blame that building. Don't blame that organization. Don't blame even the minister who's pastoring there. Realize you're the church, and you got to ask yourself, if this thing is segregated, how come I don't have any brothers or sisters of a different ethnic group around me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, it's like this, we'll just use one example, and there's thousands of examples, mm-hmm, and it's like this, you know, 3,000, you know, white folks in this particular church gathering. And this minister is trying hard to help them understand this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been several years, And it's like, they're thinking that this is the church. They're not the church. He's just having an idea or a concept, not realizing they're the church. They're going to be held accountable, and they need to go out and win the ethnos. They need That's to go right. out and love the different nations, and they need to understand to love every nation is to love God, and that everybody's creating his image and his likeness. So you can't look around and blame the organization. You can look around where you meet. You can look around as a Christian where you gather. This Sunday at 11 o'clock when you come together, find out what kind of person you are. Look around you and see what you have around you. Is it a beautiful bouquet of all the beautiful ethnicities that God created, or is it just a whole bunch of one ethnic group? Don't blame it, because remember, the church, you are the building of God. You know, Christ, don't you know that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? The Word of God applies to you. You stand alone. Your building don't stand alone. You stand before you. Your organization doesn't stand before you. Your pastor doesn't stand up for you. An apostle doesn't stand up for you. You stand alone before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for your life. And the Word of God is applied to you. And if you say, well, they and them, you were deceived, and you're going to find out you were deceived at the throne room of God, because he's going to say, you've been deceived. That's the Satan is the deceiver.
Right.
And so you can, so now when you realize that you're the church and you look around, you're thinking like, I'm the one that don't love the nations. And it could be because your nation has been hurt. It could be because you're wounded. But you know what? You still got to stand alone before God. So you got to be like Dr. like Captain Alexander, David Alexander said, you know, with the Pensacola Police Force, he said, and in ministry, he says, you have to be willing to be healed. Because if you're not willing to be healed, then you're not going to love the nations.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. And he says, I'll give you the ethnos as an inheritance. I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. Because God loves us.
How can you fulfill the Great Commission if you have those things inside of you that hinder you and limit you?
That's right.
And it makes me think also of another situation where, you know, this particular large group of believers are trying to push through the envelope, and they have a ministry trying to push through the envelope. So they hire one person of a different ethnic group.
Check.
And all the pressure, you know, 3,000 people of another ethnic group. All the pressure is on that one person.
Wow.
And they think because they brought one person of a different ethnic group in here, that's going to solve all their problem. The truth was, it's all everybody in there, everybody has to begin to love the nation.
Absolutely.
And everybody, if you go out and meet one other nation, one other ethnic group, you know, guess who's coming to dinner tonight? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's just spend time eating together, talking together, meeting together, and be pleasing to God, because that, and this is what excites me, John. This is what excites me, is the third great awakening, I think, is a key part of this. When I, you know, we read about Rick Joyner when he was talking about, you know, what would take place in America, that understanding this revelation that we're talking about today in the first and second hour could bring the third great awakening to America.
Absolutely. When you think about the, you know, I think one of the key things you said is that empathy. I think we need to get outside of our own experiences and our own what is normal to us.
Our own nation.
Yeah. And get into to understand other people of different, you know, ethnic descent. One of the things that I love that we do different times is we eat each other's food. You know, one of the way of getting to know somebody is eating their food, their culture, and understanding that the world is made up of a whole lot of different people than just the people that are like us. And
that's how I know you. That's how I know you really love me, when you're willing to sit down and have meal with me.
That's right. That's right.
On my dishes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we need to start doing, because if he or she is a brother in the Lord, then you should have no problem, because the same Jesus is in you is in them.
Yeah.
And if you're hating that brother or that sister, you're walking around in darkness, you're stumbling all over the place, and to say you love God, 1 John says you're a liar. But listen, that's wonderful to find out on this side of the cross, because you can repent instead of finding out in the throne room of God.
Yeah, I'll say too, we need to get past looking and identifying people by their flesh instead of by who they are. It's like
it's white on white crime. Why do you, white on white crime?
And we black can't, on black we can't crime. Do it from the pulpit and say, I need a half soul, and like somebody another race, like, really? It's like you just push those people aside and just label them, you know what I mean?
I got a good friend that's a Puerto Rican.
Yeah, exactly. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know?
So you don't have any other Puerto Rican friends? Is that what you're saying? Is that what's going on right there? I got one friend that's a Saints fan.
Yeah.
Dedicated Saints.
Can't help you there.
I can't.
Yeah, right? Trouble.
So, you know, in the context of that, and the grand jury has come back, we don't know. We haven't read the FDLE report, Florida Department of Law Enforcement report. We would like to have it if somebody wants to send it to us. And I know that TV3 had it, a big stack of it. They obviously didn't have a chance to read it because it just came out. And in the context of what's going on, but in regards to the light perspective and what, despite anything that's happening in the world, for example, God's already told us how we're supposed to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us is covered in thick darkness. Every one of us is covered in a blanket of darkness in this world until we meet the light. So nobody's any different than anybody. We're all important to God, and he came to save us out of darkness. And so we have to understand in the context of that, you know, what's taking place. And it makes me think about, you know, the fact that I'm colorblind in a way. I'm, you know, where I can see some colors. You know, see, now you're making in front of me. That is so fun. You know, here you are.
I mean,
that's, you were smiling.
I was not.
You know. Jiminy.
He can take it. He likes to make fun. He can take it.
And
he can take it.
And so color, he said, give it to him some more. And so, where's your cushion at? And so that's part I'm going to be talking about, people making fun of you, colorblind. So colorblind is this, in regards to, there's some colors you can see, some you can't see. Sometimes people can only see different shades of gray. And as we're watching some things about Israel, they have actually developed a technology that allows people who are blind to put something on the back of their retinas that causes them to be able to see everything in gray, but couldn't see, can see.
Hey,
just as long as you can
take
see.
Take what you can get.
You know, and so I'm colorblind from certain spectrums, you know. Spectrums, like they say there's like different colors, they tell me. No, and so I can see colors, but I can't see some colors. I can't see them well. But when I put these colors close together to each other, it's almost impossible for me to be able to see the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm doing this, you know, Pat's making in front of me as if he humiliating me, he's going to help me see better.
I'm just trying to help you out.
I'm seeing the application here as if I can make John taller by saying
right.
Seeing it. I felt it.
We apologize to all the vertically challenged people that are listening all over the world.
Right.
He doesn't mean it. He really, yeah. really
and
doesn't
And all the
mean
color of line, bro.
He knows not what he says.
Forgive him.
Yeah, right.
Forgive him for that.
Is it hot in here or am I just colorblind? And so when I put these colors close together, it's almost impossible for me to tell them apart. So I learned to look for other contrasts, things to help me when I have two of the same things that are close to the same color so that I could tell them apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking deeper than most people look at things because I have to, maybe it's the texture, maybe it's the age of something, maybe it's the, you know, whatever it is, but I had to look deeper than people who could just glance at something and see a color. You know, I've had people criticize me. This is already in my notes. I've heard him criticize me.
I don't know what you
and
mean.
Humiliate me and make fun of me.
Oh.
It's like, pick the blue one. Oh. Pick the blue one. Pick the blue. You know, anyway, getting
amazing
back to
how things get,
remember,
full
you.
Circle.
Remember that camping trip t-shirt?
Yes.
I said, let's do the navy blue. Look how nice that is.
Yes. I remember
somebody
that.
Wanted baby blue.
Baby
I don't know where
blue.
That came from.
Yeah.
Who was that? Was that me?
So did we have 1,000 people
it looked better.
In baby,
yours would look
baby
better.
Blue?
I got shot down.
You got shot down.
Shot down.
And you were able to see.
Speaking of shotgun barbecue. Okay.
Yeah. I can see colors.
Listen.
But you, clearly.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Oh.
We're talking about my limp right now.
Oh, okay.
Let
us talk about your limp.
Right.
He wants to talk about his limp.
I like
let
to do it.
Myself.
I can do it better. I can do it better. I'm more graceful to myself.
Oh, I see.
And so people criticize me because I mean, think about it, because I'm sure because I'm colorblind and sometimes I remember I was at a meeting once and a very important meeting and
sure was.
I'm so glad. You know why I'm making fun of this height. That's why. I mean.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
And they got another cushion. We're going to crank him a jack and crank him up the top. And so I was at this meeting, this very important meeting, and we're talking about this very, very important stuff that's going on. And I really didn't even want to be at the meeting. And so it's such an important topic that I look down at the crowd thinking, I don't want to be here. When I look down, I had one brown shoe on and one black shoe. I'm thinking, like, how can I see colors now? I mean, why would now be the time that I have two different? So the brilliance.
You had the wrong shoe on.
The brilliance. See the humiliation?
Oh, hey.
You know, welcome.
I
know.
They would say,
you can't see that?
I know. Right? Welcome.
The shoelaces and the tongue wasn't a
Anyway, no, it was the same. Well, one was a tennis shoe. But one was brown. One was blue. This is serious. You see the humiliation that I go through?
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
This is stressful.
Putting a biblical
I'm getting dizzy now, so I might fall out.
Let's bring the light part. This is a biblical principle. We're reaping what we sow. Biblical principle right here. This is a light perspective. We don't want to miss this.
Oh my God.
Where am I? And so,
by being challenged about what you can't change.
Well, I didn't realize one was a Nike and one was a patent leather. No, there were two identical. I mean, this is a mistake. If your color, challenge. Don't get two of the same exact brand of shoes. You know me, like, give me five different, you know, same thing, you know, right? That's me.
Every man, right?
Yeah, and so and they looked exactly like for one particular thing. One was brown, one was black. But the wisdom of God came over me at the moment because I was standing on steps, so I put one foot on the lower step, one foot on the higher step. So those down there, they thought I was wearing a brown shoe and the other thought I was a blue shoe. And they're thinking, I was thinking about what they're talking about. I'm like, dear God, I got the wrong color shoes on. Anyway, so needless to say, obviously that makes my point. People humiliate me because I can't see colors. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to put up with jokes. That's my next. I had to put up with jokes.
Is that what you put up with?
Yeah, and because of my mismatched things in my life. And let me make my glasses.
Does this say jerks or jokes?
Let's say jerks or jokes. This is jokes. And since then, so I had to look for different, deeper things. I mean, these things that sometimes we think are hindrances, they're actually gifts.
Oh.
Is that how we turn?
Y'all are sucking our time up today.
We opened the program with a cushion.
We've already used that time. Is it hot in here or is it just me getting fried? Anyway, so. Roy, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, man. Anyway, listen. So, so I had to look at things differently, and a lot of times you're thinking, for example, you know, I think about, you know, John.
Yes,
this
please.
This is serious. We're not talking Second Street right now. This is serious. That remember going to college, you know, that you had to work harder,
sure,
to get the same grades, but that actually made you smarter.
Yeah,
Pat said. The
that's what they told
help me.
That's what they told me.
Right, and this is fifth degree. Did they get it all cleaned up? Anyway, so the right, and but you know, so I had to work harder to be able to differentiate between things. So I had to look deeper into those things to make sure they match. I had to work harder and then be wiser. I had to use more wisdom on my choices in life to be able to make sure that things are right. Because I could not just by default judge something by its color.
Mm.
I couldn't. I didn't have the capabilities to be able to do that. But as life goes on, I found out that being colorblind was a gift. It was a gift because it forced me to look beyond color into why certain things and people go together and others don't go together outside of color. And I found that those who see color don't put forth any effort at all to go deeper. They just stop and go, that's a blue one and that's a brown one. I mean, they don't go deeper because they don't think that they need to go deeper because they actually think that they can see the color and the color is going to tell them something.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize there's texture there, that there's life experiences there, that one's a little bit older than the other, or they don't understand why they go together.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And so I found out, man, this is a gift. And so sad to say, they think just because they know colors, that they think they know the person, their history, their life experiences, quote, their category.
Mm.
You know, this is where the blue ones go. This is where the brown ones go. This is where the white ones go. You know, I'm talking about your socks.
Mm.
You know, these organized things based off that quickly. Mm-hmm. They don't have to go any deeper because they think that they can actually judge that by its color.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're colorblind, you don't, can't do that. You got to go deeper. You got to be like Braille. What's it feel like? And but what I discovered, because I've always had to look beyond color, is that all men are created in the image and the likeness of God.
Mm.
No matter how others define them or they define themselves or place some people in particular so-called categories. It's just like we're all created in the image and the likeness of God. I also discovered, you know, what Dr. King talked about, Dr. Martin Luther King, what he talked about, who I feel, by the way, was an apostle that led America to God's original intent for this nation, what the Founding Fathers wrote in the Constitution. He said, a man should not be judged on the color of his skin, but the content of his character. But then too, because I had to look beyond color and see one's journey and watch and learn how it is difficult for many who strive to be men and women of good characters, who are continually judged, not by their character,
mm-hmm.
but by the color of their skins, that I can empathize with the reality. It's like, you're just looking at my, you just, I'm deeper than skin deep. Mm-hmm. I'm made in the image and the likeness of God,
mm-hmm.
all men. But that reminds me, of Jesus when he says, you know, when Jesus, he understood the answer. I mean, he was the answer, but he needed to understand the question. He wanted to be able to walk in our shoes. He wanted to be able to have empathy for us, to understand, to compassion for us, to explain us to the Father. And believe me, Pat needs a lot of explanation.
Mm.
And so he talks about it. Thanks, Chris. And Hebrews 4:15, your mother's texting me.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my goodness. Can y'all hold off a minute? I got to wait. Okay. Hebrews 4:15. He says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has looked beyond the surface of things. Mm-hmm. He's looked beyond the blanket of darkness and the thick darkness that overcovers us. But we have one who has been tempted in every way. He's experienced the tangible feeling of what it's like, yet not sinning, to be able to feel what it's like. And so, yeah, he did it without sin. And so we have to understand that empathy is so important, because Jesus looked beyond our sin, beyond our circumstances, beyond the surface of our life, and he fell in love with us. Mm-hmm. All of us. And he walked in our shoes, and he knew the answer. Of course, the answer was him for all mankind. But he walked in our shoes, and he began to understand the question.
Mm.
He began to understand when men are tempted to only look at color, or to judge, or to sin, or to be polarized, to be separated, to be divided. But he didn't. He did not divide himself, not even from the Samaritan woman. He's always like, oh my, you come, come. He wanted to understand the question, why would men want to sin against such an awesome God, his Father, who loves men so much, all men, all nations, all colors, that he gave him for us? Why would you want to treat each other like? Don't you understand ever how you treat each other, you treat me?
Mm.
That you're created in our image and our likeness? You got to hear more about this. When we get back from the break, and you got to continue to hear this about color blindness.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are
shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me, what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know, apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John and Greg Lancaster. We're talking about colorblindness, you know, that that's something that I have. I'm color challenged in the area, and we don't want to waste a lot of time humiliating me anymore as we move on. You've proven my point. But Jesus... This is what we're lacking today. We're lacking the ability to empathize. And remember, so Jesus, God himself, wanted to empathize. He wanted to feel us, feel what we experience, but yet don't fall to what we fell to. When you think about Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 8, during the days of Jesus' life, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And he went through some stuff. He went through all the rejection, mm-hmm. all the feelings, and all that. So I want to encourage you today to begin to look beyond the surface of someone's life. Look beyond the color of someone's skin. Look beyond the category that even they themselves may put themselves into or others put themselves through, and maybe you put them in, and place them in God's category, which is made in the image and the likeness of God, that he gave his son for them. And you think about it, Jesus, the Son of God, who said, he said nothing unless he heard God, the creator of the universe, say it, said this in Matthew 28:19. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of the nations. Let me tell you what that means. Nations comes from the word, the Greek word ethnos, where we get our word ethnic. Mm-hmm. Which means this, that he says, go make disciples of every ethnic group. What is a disciple? Somebody who is your brother and who is your sister in the family of God. And this is what Jesus said. This is what John said, as he's under the unction of the Holy Spirit, not John Ramos, but John the disciple. He said, if you don't love your brother, I don't care what deception may hit your mind. If you don't love your brother, he says, nations. So he may or she may be a different ethnic group than you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't love him, he says, you don't even know me. And when you tell people, am I correct if I'm biblically incorrect here? And then he says, and if you tell everybody that you love me, this is God saying this. Mm-hmm. If you tell everybody you love me and you don't love this brother of a different ethnic, because I said nations, ethnics, ethnic groups. He says, you're a liar. Mm. And so, hey, let's prevent that on this side of the judgment seat of Christ so that you enter into the heaven with God and not hell, because you don't enter in if you don't know God, if you don't love God, if you don't love God, you can't even know him. He's just saying it's impossible to love him if you don't love your brother. Right. You think about it. If we're made in the image and likeness of God, so the devil is sowing all kinds of lies and deception, everything to get you to hate God. And don't fall prey to that. And there's a lot of people got a lot of reasons in the natural sense, you know, to be able to have a lot of anger inside of them. But it boils down to it. We stand alone before the throne of God, and the enemy's trying to take me down by all this injustice coming against me. So I'll start hating folks and even hate my own brothers and own sisters. And all of a sudden I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and says, well, that was your journey. I mean, that's, you had to actually be just like they were supposed to love you. You were supposed to love them, and neither one of you loved me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so take time to get to know someone, their fruit, their character. Isn't that what Dr. King said? He said, you know, by their character. Then allow their fruit to speak for them in their life, not just their speech, not just their society or the culture, not their skin color, not our skin color. Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who, if you want to know the son, you know, you got to read some on Daddy King, his father.
Mm.
But Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said they were supposed to know a man by his character. Well, understand this. When we empathize, when we have empathy for someone, we need to learn to empathize with their condition. When we empathize with someone, anyone, we're acting Christ-like. When we feel their infirmities, when God lays a burden on you. I think about this. Describe empathy. Imagine this particular employee, and this is coming out of Integrity, The Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality by Dr. Henry Cloud. And he talks about empathy, which is lacking in America. He says that he has this particular owner of this business has a lady who comes into his office and she says, I need a raise. I got to have a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at her and just abruptly goes, can't afford it, can't do it, you know, sorry, and just walks away. And she's just broken, you know, and he's thinking all these logical thoughts, all these legalistic type thoughts, you know what I'm saying? He's like, in his own head, outside of communicating and even connecting with her, he's thinking, well, you know, this is a lot of pressure right now. The stock is, you know, we don't have a lot of stock. The customers are not buying our products. But he didn't say that. He just said no to her. And he could have been correct. So that's not empathy. This is empathy. So then she comes in there and she tells the boss, he says, well, can you sit down for a moment? And she says, yes, yes. He says, what's going on? What's happening? And she says, well, I mean, obviously something's happening. Something's changed in your life. And she says, well, I was at the store the other day with my baby, and I was buying the groceries or the food, and I was at the cash register, and I was checking out, and I didn't have the money for baby food.
Mm.
And my baby's in my arms, and in front of all those folks, I was so humiliated. I had to go back and carry that baby food, to that aisle. And to be able I didn't have the money for the food for my own child. And then this is empathy. He says this, I could only imagine what it must have felt like standing there with your child in your arms. You would give your life for to feed this baby. And all you wanted to do is get some food for your child. And you didn't even have the money to buy baby food. And the humiliation, but also the pain of not having the food and then not having the money. And this is where you get your money at. And then you had to walk all the way back and put that, the shame and I bet you're just broken over this. I'm not you, but I can kind of feel, that just had to be. You know what she'll say to you? She'll say, yeah, exactly what I felt like. And then the boss would say, well, let me check Let me check and see. I will thoroughly look and see if this is possible. And it is what it is. But he took time to empathize with her. And then he comes back. He looks at the books, and there is no money for a raise. And so he comes back, and he says to her, listen, I had a chance to really pray about and think about those experiences. And I want you to know that I talked to my wife. And anyway, if you ever, without any kind of food for your child, no matter what, don't ever do that again. You come to us. And we're going to get, we'll make sure you have food. He went for sources. He went found different ways to be able to make sure that she would never have to go without food for her child again. Secondly, he said, I looked at the books, and here's the books right here. This is the bottom line. This is what's going on. And there's not money here for a raise right now. So I just want to tell you right now, you've been very good here, and I would not want to lose you here. I would want to have you. And if we had the money to be able to do it, we would give it to you right now. But we don't. So that in mind, I understand why you would begin to look somewhere else. And I will help you find that place that will meet your financial needs. I will work with you. I'll give you a good reference. And I will make sure that your income level goes up enough that you can feed your baby and you would never have to go through an experience like that again. Two different balls of wax. Mm. One is legalistic view. Remember, in regards to that, that was just no empathy. And God could have chose a legalistic view of us and taken us out. But he chose to empathize with us instead. And remember, when men crank out laws, and you know that this is what Dr. Martin Luther King said, everything that Adolf Hitler did was legal. Just because it's legal don't mean it's right. So I want to encourage you right now to begin to challenge yourself. You know what? I'm going to begin to walk in other people's shoes. You know, we can turn this thing around when we walk like Jesus walked. Begin to connect. Take time to empathize with your brother and your sister. Remember, if we don't love them, we don't love him. Let's take time to love each other. Loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. So, you know, in the context of that, this was on my heart because I'm thinking, you know, and you can hear the whole context of this, that about 90 days ago, you know, Roy Middleton, 60-year-old man on the Gulf Coast, lives in Pensacola, Florida, there on the Gulf Coast, was at his house at around midnight in his car, under his carport, in his yard, about 5, 8, 10 feet approximately from his door into his carport. And suddenly in the dark of the night, because they got a call from someone else, but suddenly in the dark of the night, because Roy doesn't know this, all of a sudden there's two police officers in the dark who you can't see, right?
Right.
You can't see. All of a sudden begin to call out and start firing shots at you. 15 shots. And two of them hit him, blow up his, you can see this on the VFN torch. You can see these pictures, and you can go to, we have links where you can go actually see the video we're talking about. And blows his thigh out. He said that he had wrote me and said that he has a rod in his leg. He asked to pray for him and his family. But the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which is the state investigation agency, you know, they reviewed everything that happened with the two officers and Roy Middleton. And they said that they didn't see anything outside of norm, that, you know, nothing was done, you know, wrong in the context of they're still working there. Secondly, then it goes to the grand jury, which is the constitutional thing that your neighbors and your friends and people that can look at the evidence. And the grand jury looks at all the evidence of what took place. And they say that... that these officers, you know, haven't done anything wrong. They just need some training.
Yeah, that's the most shocking.
Need some training. But this is the thing. And it was said so quickly by Sue Strong with TV3, which is a really cool lady, a Christian lady. And just so quickly, I was just like shocked. I was just shocked. And so I had to watch it again. After I had been to call my friends, like, I think I'm because it was like a void. Nobody's responding. I'm like, okay, I'm just missing it. I'm overreacting. Something's going wrong. Something happened. And so I'm calling some of my friends. I'm like, is this right? Is this going on? They're going like, no, no. And one of my friends, you know, said, yeah, my daughter just called me and asked me the question, Dad, these are two people of color. Dad, what do you think about that? And he goes to his daughter. This is tragic. He goes to his daughter. He says, I had to distract her and turn her eyes to God because of the realities that's going on. My heart just broke. I was like weeping in the context of this. And so at 10 o'clock, I watched it again. And this time, they said it again, you know, in the context of it was night. But right after they said it, now listen, this is context. This happened on WERTV News in the same region, the same hemisphere, spiritual hemisphere, you know, wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness. On October the 16th at 10 p.m. Central Time, when the news comes on, I guess it is, they said, this is what they said, the officers, and paraphrasing, the officers that shot Roy Middleton, the unarmed Roy Middleton, they thought that was lunging towards them, that was, I think that was the word, from a distance, in his own car, in his own driveway, 15 times, the grand jury clears them. And their recommendations is, everybody that's been 4 years or less needs some training, which means, and then this is the next scene on the news. And I can't tell you his name. He's an African-American man. He said, whatever his name is, he says he shot a man twice. And the man lived, and he's got life in prison. So two police officers shoot an African-American man 15 times. 15 times. Two of them hit him only because they're bad shots. Testimony of the sheriff himself is the fact that
one of them
was scared. And so then they saw the other officer shooting. They started shooting at Roy too. And Roy's like, you know, you're just, how long is it going to take your brain to connect? You got to hear the whole conversation that we've been having. But in the context of that, it fades out and it goes to the next story. Like, right, the next story. And the next story is this man. And I'm not saying, you know, I don't know this man. I mean, he probably deserves a life sentence. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a life sentence. And all of a sudden, they said he walked up and he shot a man twice, and the man lived, and they said he gets a life sentence. You know, say what you want to. That's a dangerous thing. That's an unjust thing. And what God says, this God says, no one cries for justice. And this is what he also says that I'll talk about in Isaiah. He says, if we wait too late, we're bait. If we wait too late, we're bait. And when we get back, what I did was I took the time, and I don't normally do this, because when I saw what Sue posted, I felt like Sue understood for some reason. I just felt like, and she had to do her job. She's a newscaster. But I just kind of felt her spirit, and maybe I didn't, but my heart just went out to her. So she posted on her Facebook with TV3. And so I said, I just want to speak to Roy there. And I, towards this, because I could only imagine. So I wrote this, dated on October the 16th, 2013. Dear Roy Middleton, I first want to say I'm sorry for what happened to you. I can only imagine what it must feel like to be in your car, under your carport, at night, at your own house, at 60 years of age. It's not easy for me to move around because of injuries that I've had in my own life. And I am sure by the time you're 60 in your life, many things have happened that cause you to walk differently. But I can't say, I cannot say, and even relate to how you must feel tonight as a man of color and what has taken place, walking differently because of your life experiences. And now, the physical and emotional impact of being shot at 15 times in the dark, in your own driveway, at your own home, with a metal rod now in your leg about 90 days later. Was this true what I heard? Did they really say what I thought they said? Did Sue Strong report that the deputies that work for you, a citizen of Escambia County, under the sheriff, you and other fellow citizens allowed to be sheriff for a moment in history, say nothing was wrong? Everything's okay? All we need is more training? Dear God, Forgive us for injustice. Forgive us for having calloused hearts. Forgive us for not feeling the infirmities of our brother Roy. Roy, I'm shocked. I'm sad. I'm concerned about you. The thoughts that rush through my mind and my heart tonight as you have to lay in your home a few feet away from where you were shot 15 times, surrounded by a state that said, nobody did you wrong. FDLE. And by a county that just convened a grand jury that said, nobody did you wrong. And surrounded by deputies that are patrolling you, your neighborhood tonight. And I know as a former sheriff deputy myself that there are many good law enforcement officers, but I can't help but feel that how do you know that who might hurt you next? How do you know? How can you sleep? Never forget this. I think about Dr. King, what he said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said this. He says, never forget that everything Hitler did in Germany was legal. Our God, Roy, is a just God and the one who justifies. His eyes look over the earth to see whose heart is dependent upon him. He says, no one cries for justice in Isaiah 58:4. But tonight, I want you to know, Roy, that I do call for justice before God tonight. I pray that the Lord would comfort you and keep you and set his angels guard over you and your family and your heart and your homes and all the people of color who feel a deep sense of injustice has taken place. A deep sense of what? What about me? What about my wife? What about my husband? What about my father? What about my children? One of my African-American friends told me, after Sue Strong made this report on WEAR-TV3, all you have to do is feel scared of me to be justified in killing me. Dear God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Let justice roll on like a river. Righteousness like a never-failing stream, the prophet Amos said in 5:24. By the way, my African-American friend who told me the following after Sue Strong's report on WEAR-TV3, who said, all you have to do is feel scared of me to be justified in shooting me or killing me. That's an African-American who is an excellent father, person, son, friend, Christian. He's also a law enforcement officer. You see, it's time for us to have this conversation. He's an outstanding law enforcement officer of the community. With distinction, he serves and sacrifices. Roy, I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I'm shocked. But I want you to know, as you asked us to do when you wrote to us, we're praying for you, man. We're praying for you. And God's going to help us get through this because we want the blessings of God in the Northwest Panhandle of Florida and in America. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.